Let's turn to John's Gospel, to the chapter 3, and with God's Word open before us, let's bow together in a word of prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thou art the great God that sits upon the throne in the heavenlies. We thank Thee that we have Thy Word before us tonight. And we thank Thee we have the promise that where two or three are gathered together in My name, that there I am in the midst. And Heavenly Father, we ask Thee that You will come and write Thy Word upon each one of our hearts. Cleanse my heart afresh of the precious blood. Fill me afresh, O God, with Thy Holy Spirit, and enable me to preach Thy Word, for we ask it in Jesus' precious and lovely name. Amen. Amen. The text that we want to look at tonight is a very, very familiar text. The verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. During the past week, I had an occasion to go down to Rosnaula. And we were travelling from Ballyshannon to Rosnaula when we came across an old man on the road with a stick and beads hanging from his hand. And we just passed him, and I said to the wife, she was driving, I said, stop, get turned back till I get a track to this old man. And by the time we got turned round and back again, there was a man came out of the house and was talking to him at the roadside, so I duly got out and got my tracks and went over and said, you two men must be enjoying this good weather. They said, indeed we are. Are you on holidays? I said, not at all. I'm just going down for a couple of hours here to the beach. And got talking to him, and I said, I saw this man here walking down the road and with his beads in his hand. And I said, I thought there was a man looking to how to get to heaven. He said, there's not a word about it. He said, I have so many people to pray for, and that's why I'm carrying my beads. And I'd given the track, and he had taken it, and the other man had taken it. And he says, I hope you're not one of these people that are born again. He says, you know, my sister is born again, and she doesn't believe in the Virgin Mary. Well, I said, I believe in the Virgin Mary. I believe that Mary was a virgin. I believe that Mary was highly favored of God to be the mother of our Lord. And I said, Mary is in heaven tonight or today because her son died for her sins upon the cross of Calvary. And she's there because of what Christ did for her. Of course, he didn't like that. And he said, you know, he says, I don't believe that you need to be born again. I am a good Catholic. And my sister left the Catholic Church. And she told me that for 30 years she had taught. And what she had taught, must have been in a school, was wrong. And he says, what were you brought up? I said, I was brought up in a home where my father and mother were saved. And I said, I'm born again. I don't believe you need to be born again. And I said, well, now, I want you to answer me a question. He says, oh, well, if I can. I said, do you believe our Lord could tell a lie? Oh, not at all, he says, our Lord couldn't tell a lie. Well, I said then, the argument is settled. When Jesus was asked how to get to heaven, he said, ye must be born again. Oh, I don't agree with it, he said. I'm a Catholic. I said, I never asked whether you were a Catholic or not. And the other man said, that's right, you didn't. So by this time he had handed the track back to the other man. He didn't hand it back to me for some reason. And he went humping down the road with his stick and his beads still hanging in his hand. But you know, you never know. The Lord could speak. He obviously knows the gospel. His sister has obviously been saved and has been speaking to him. And the devil in him's reacting. But of course that part of Donegal
is a very, very much traditional Catholic area. I remember the Reverend Porter and me doing the doors there for a mission in Rosnella some years ago, and we weren't long round the doors, and I said to him, I said, do you see any difference here than you do round Convoy and Rafoe and that part of Donegal? He says, I do. Well, I said, they are traditional Roman Catholic people who are nice enough, but they don't believe that you need anything other than the church. Of course, we discovered as well that there were some very, very decent Church of Ireland people. And they didn't believe that you needed to be born again either. They believed that the church, and of course, when you're talking to them, they talk about the church. And what they mean is their church. And they put the whole emphasis on the church. But perhaps that's why we're here tonight at this text again. The Lord seemed to lay it upon my heart. And we want to look at it. What would this world have been like if Jesus Christ had never been born? Our calendar even dates from the time of Jesus, before Christ and after Christ, B.C. and A.D. Of course, they're trying to change that now. And what a life of purity and holiness Jesus lived. No one can point a finger at his sinless life. No matter how the world thinks regarding Christianity and Christians in general, they are convinced in their own mind that Jesus was a good man. And that's as far as some of them will go. He was a good man. It is also an undisputed fact that the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, if adhered to, would bring the peace that this world so very much desires. And what a cry we have for peace today. And it's worldwide. And yet, with all the unrest and all the countries that are wrecked with war and rumors of war, they will not adhere to the teachings of the scriptures which would change this world and make it a much better place to live. There has never been a man who lived as Jesus lived. Never been a man that taught as Jesus taught. At any time or at any place, nor there ever will be. But Jesus did not come into this world to be just a perfect example, and he was that, of how the good people should live, nor to be a good teacher, whose teaching, if adhered to, would bring in a golden age of peace. But he came that sinners might be born again into God's family, saved from sin, made to walk in newness of life. And yet, today, there is no teaching so unpopular as the doctrine of being born again. The new birth. I remember in Convoy, doing the doors there some years ago, and this Church of Ireland lady, she was just out of the hospital after a serious heart attack. And she eventually said to me, she said, there is one thing certain. I will never ever be born again. And I said, dear, I have to tell you that there is one thing certain. You will never ever be in God's heaven unless you are born again. And this is the crux of the matter as far as Christianity is concerned. And we want to look for a short time at the new birth. First of all, the necessity of the new birth. Verse 3 tells us, except a man be born again. Now these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And verse 7, marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. Those are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son. Those are words that we cannot argue with.
We cannot dispute about them. We cannot put any other meaning to them. They are simple, they are plain, and we either reject it or we accept it. Now, of course, we have to realize that baptism is not the new birth. You see, there are many today who believe that because they were baptized as a child, that they were born again and they got rid of their sin. And I want to state clearly that baptism is a command of God, but it is not the new birth experience. And whenever a person is saved by God's grace, then there is a command to be baptized. But because of God's plan of salvation, there is no other way to heaven but by the new birth. And all who want to be in heaven must be born again. All who want to be in God's family must be born again. You may be rich or poor. You may be black or white. You may be good or bad. You may be educated or ignorant. You may be a church member or not. It doesn't matter how you are in this world. If you ever want to be in heaven, the new birth is an absolute necessity. Some think because they are privileged that they somehow or other don't have to be born again. Privileged to be brought up in the Protestant faith. They don't need to be born again. Maybe there's someone tonight and you say, well, you can be a Christian without being born again. But that's not what the Bible says. You see, here we have Nicodemus, and he was a religious leader in his day. He was upright, he was moral, he was religious man, yet he needed the new birth. Why? Because the Lord Jesus told him he needed it. Others will tell you that they are good, they're upright, they're moral people, and surely we don't need to be born again. And they just put it out of their minds. Why? Because the devil tells them they don't need to be born again. The devil tells them, just continue on as you are. Sure, you're a good person. You've never murdered anybody. You've never gone out and done anything. And, you know, when you talk to some people, they become saints. And they'll tell you what they've never done. And then you might go to the next door and you discover what sort of people they are from their neighbours because they have a different opinion of what they are. Remember a Church of Ireland man telling me, you know, he says, Ronnie, he says, I don't need people like you coming. He knew me well. He says, I have no disrespect for you. But he says, I don't need you coming to invite me to a mission because I go to my church and I pay to my church and that's all I need. The next house I was in was a born-again believer who belonged to the same church. And I said, your friend down there must be a great attender. He says he hasn't been there for years except at weddings and funerals. I say, he's a good peer to the church. He says, what? He says, the treasurer was round last week with him and he told him to come back some other day. He had no check in the checkbook and some other time to call back again. You see, people have an opinion of themselves and they will tell you their opinion to try just to brush off the fact that they do not believe that they need to be born again and they do not want to be born again. Oh, they'll tell you it's necessary for the murderer, the immoral person, the thief and the robber, but surely for me, a good church-going person, religious, God says, ye must be born again. If you want to become a citizen of heaven, or to be in the family of King Jesus, ye must be born again. No one who will ever enter heaven can say they got to heaven any other way. Jesus said, ye must be born again. You see, at birth we receive life to live in this present world. At the new birth we receive life to live in the family of God. If God were to take you tonight, unsaved person, to heaven,
you would be in for a queer shock. You would be like a fish out of water. You wouldn't survive. Down here, you cannot wait until the church service is over. Prayer meetings are a bore, and you cannot understand why anyone would want to go to a prayer meeting. Why read the Bible? It's a dry book. Rather watch TV or go to a movie. How would you, in your natural state, ever survive in heaven? Can't be done. Nothing that defileth shall ever enter in. And there must be a change. Light must come into the soul, into the heart, because light and darkness don't mix. You don't like saved people talk about salvation down here. How would you ever live in heaven? Because everybody there will be saved and born again. You know, the only exception to the necessity of being born again is those who don't want to go to heaven. You see, the devil will take you as you are. Rich or poor, church member or not, baptized, catechized, confirmed, drunk, sober, drug addict or anything. The devil will take you straight to the lake of fire. And you've nothing to do. Just continue on as you are. And if you're in this service and you don't want to go to heaven, then you don't need the new birth experience. But if you want to go to heaven, if you want to be in that place where all is perfect, where there is no night and there's no sickness and there's no sadness and there's no sorrow, in that place where Jesus dwells, what a place it is. But if you don't want to be there, you may forget about the new birth. But oh, I tell you tonight, if you want to be in heaven, if you want to escape the lake of fire, then you must have the new birth experience. There is no other way. And then there's not only the necessity of the new birth, but there's the mystery of the new birth. You cannot understand the new birth with the natural mind. Of course, it's no mystery to God. In verses 4 and verses 9, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Nicodemus in verse 9 answered him and said, how can these things be? And the answer that Jesus gave was in the verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Jesus gave the fact of the new birth, and yet he did not explain the mystery of the new birth. We accept God's word by faith. Many things in life we accept without knowing how it works, and we accept it by faith. Most people couldn't explain electricity, and yet you accept it every day of your life. You can't see electricity flow through the wires in your house, and yet it's there, and when you switch on the light, your oven, your Hoover, and all the modern things that we have today, they work. And it's only by the use of the meter or the scope that it can be measured and the waveform can be seen of the electricity flowing. And so being born again cannot be explained or seen. It's a miracle. A miracle that takes place in the sinner's life when God transforms him from being a sinner on the road to hell to being a saint on the road to heaven. But we can see it's working in the life of the born-again believer. We can see the evidence of the new birth. You see, being born again means that there's a new life to be lived. There's a new nature to enable a new life to be lived. born of the Spirit. Evil has been changed for holiness. The old ways for new ways. The old desires for new desires. Language has been cleaned up. Desires that were for sin and the world are gone. And there is new desires that have taken place. Desires for the Word of God, for prayer, for fellowship with God's people. Why? Because the Bible tells us if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And the new birth is a miracle wrought by God in the heart of the repentant sinner. Regenerated by the Spirit is a mystery, is a miracle of the Holy Spirit. But that's no reason to reject it. You see, reject the new birth and you go to the lake of fire. Accept the new birth and you go to heaven. You've often heard, I don't know whether they mightn't get away with this in school now, but when I was at school they used to tell you that a black cow eats green grass and gives white milk. Of course that wouldn't be politically correct today, and these purists of Europe would be having you hung out for the maybe coming out of a statement like that. Most people don't know why a black cow eats green grass and it gives white milk. But the evidence is there. You see, the child grows into a man. You cannot explain it, yet it is fact. You see it before your eyes. So the new birth can be seen as it changes a sinner into a saint, as a drunkard into a sober person, an immoral person into a moral person. Being born again is necessity to get to heaven. And it is a change that takes place in the life. Now, we're living in a day and an age that I thought never would come. A day and an age when people do not want to see that God's salvation is a different path. They want to be able to make a decision to get them to heaven and to continue on living life as they did before. Oh yes, they might make a slight change. But they really want to continue on in the world. And they make what is known in some circles as a commitment. And if you've made your commitment, that's all you need, and just continue on as you're going. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that salvation is being made a new creature. The old nature that we've been born with is a nature that the devil uses and is attractive to the flesh and to the world and to the pleasures of the world and to sin. Why is there so many people today on drugs, on drink? Why is our TV and papers full of immorality from one end of the world to another? Why is all the violence there? Because it is built into the heart of man. The evil that came from Adam and Eve's disobedience. And the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and it's against God. It's against the commandments of God. It's against the principles of God. And to make a commitment won't change. But my dear friend, when you come as a sinner to Jesus and you call upon the name of the Lord, you are born again into God's family and you're changed. And your desires are then for God. Your desires are for the things of God, for the people of God, for the Word of God, for the place of prayer. You know what amazes me today? Of course, I was maybe brought up on a different age. But how that Christians can go week after week after week,
month after month, year after year, and never darken the door of a prayer meeting. In my early days, there was a prayer meeting in our own home, from ever I remember. And the male nurses and lady nurses and out of the hospital and workers came there to pray for the work of the faith mission. Missionaries came from all over the world. And when people got saved, that's where they went. They went to the prayer meeting. And you know, if you missed the prayer meeting, you were missed by the people. But you were missed by the Lord. But after a period of time, if you didn't go, you were backslidden. And then sometimes people drifted away because they never were saved at all. They only had a profession that lasted for a few days, a few weeks, a few months. But those that were genuinely saved had a desire in their heart, because the new birth placed it there to be in the house of God with God's people. Your company changed. And you wanted fellowship with God. Now, I know that some of God's people, you couldn't like them if you reared them. And that's fact, because I've come across them. But let me tell you this, the Bible says we're to love the brethren. Now, that doesn't mean the Plymouth brethren. It means all the brothers and sisters in the Lord. Red or yellow, black or white, all are precious in the sight. Suppose that's not politically right either nowadays. But my dear friend, we have to love one another. And that is an evidence of the new birth in our heart and in our soul. I want to ask you tonight, are you saved? Have you had the new birth experience? The necessity of the new birth. The mystery of the new birth. And there's the neglect of the new birth. There's a neglect of the command of God. God says, ye must be born again. And you say, no, I don't want to be born again. My dear friend, tonight, if you're not saved, who do you think you are that can turn round to the God who made you? The God who controls this world in which we live. The God who set the sun and the moon and the stars in the sky. The God who is the creator of mankind. And say to God, I don't believe you, God. I'm not going to get saved. I'm not going to be born again. And I'll take my chance. Well, you don't have to take a chance, because in that same chapter, when you go down to verse 18, it says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. You see, we have a host of people in this land of ours, and they believe because they believe in a Protestant purgatory. You see, the Catholics have purgatory, where they all go when they die, and then people pay for them to get them out of it. Of course, it was only to make money for the coffers of Rome. But there's a Protestant purgatory, and I've heard it time and time and time again, where ministers will tell people, oh, you've been baptized, you have been confirmed, you've been received into the church, and just continue on as you are, and you'll be all right in the judgment. What does the Bible say? The Bible says if you don't believe down here, you're condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. You're either in the devil's family or you're born again in God's family. You cannot be both at the same time. The rich man neglected to be born again and he's in hell tonight. Judas Iscariot walked with Jesus. He looked like a Christian. He acted like a Christian. But he neglected to be born again and he's in hell tonight. The thief on the cross. We always think of the thief on the cross that cried unto God for mercy. But you know, there was another thief on the cross on the other side, and he neglected to be born again, and he's in hell tonight. because they neglected to be born again. And the consequences of your refusal or the neglect of the new birth is the lake of fire. Hebrews 2 and verse 3 tells us, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? My dear friend, there is no escape. In Acts 4 and 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. The great tragedy, of course, today is that men and women, boys and girls, do not realize the danger in neglecting the words of Jesus. Why? Because they are blinded by the devil. How about you tonight? Now, I know there are many in this place, and they can look back to a time when they were born again into God's family. Now, I'm not talking about a date, nor a time, nor an hour. But you can look back to a time when you got before the Lord and you confessed your sins and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, and you were born again into God's family. And you say, yes, I know. How do you know? Because you were there. Do you think that a mother will ever forget the birth of her child? No way. Why? Because she was there when it happened. And those that are saved and born again will never forget it because they were there when it happened. And when that takes place, there is a transaction takes place between your soul and God in heaven. And you're changed in a moment of time, and you are never, ever the same again. You're made perfect in God's sight, clothed with the robe of righteousness that Christ purchased when he lived a perfect life on this earth. Oh yes, we still have to live down here. We still have to live for the Lord down here, and it's not easy. But the Bible says if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ, our Lord. Are you born again tonight? Whatever you have, if you have not the new birth experience, it will not take you to heaven. I ask you now, if you're not saved, will you come now and enter in before it's too late? I'm not asking you tonight to come to a church. Church can't save you. I'm not asking you to come to a preacher. A preacher can't save you. But I'm asking you tonight, as a sinner condemned before God, is there a desire in your heart to get that question settled once and for all? Are you willing tonight to come and to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart, to cleanse away your sin, and to make you a child of God? You say, if I do that, will it happen? Yes, it will happen. How do you know it will happen? Because God says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. That if you come, he'll not cast you out, he'll take you in. And he'll give you new life in Christ. And he'll give you a new home in heaven. I trust tonight, if you're not saved, that you'll come. That you'll put your trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we can be of any help to you, we can't save you. But we can pray with you. We can open God's word. We can show you how that you can be saved and know that you're saved. If you're willing to come tonight, there's a Savior who is willing to save you. And you will be born again into God's family. and then you'll be twice born. Born into this world and born again into God's family, and you'll be in heaven forevermore. Let's bow together in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, when he shed his precious blood to save us from our sins. And we thank thee that the Lord Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. We thank you for everyone in the service tonight that is born again, that has that assurance in their heart that it is well with their soul. And Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight for those that are not saved, Lord, open their heart as you opened Lydia's heart. Give them that desire to come and to come now and put their trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and save them now for thine honour and for thy glory. Lord, we pray now that you will part us with thy blessing and take us to our home.